Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to Golf Talk. I'm your host, Ted Odorico. And I'm extra excited this evening for two reasons. Guest number one and guest number two, which I'm going to bring on here in a few minutes. My first guest is Mr. Barry Goldstein, who was voted one of the top 25 golf teachers by Golf Tips Magazine. And he's also in part business owner in a business called Ontex Golf, which features a lot of putters. And I'm going to talk a little bit about him a little bit later on, but also on August 29th, when the founder and president of Onnit Golf comes on, Mr. Bernie Pinder. So we'll talk a little bit about him on the 29th, a little bit more about Onnit Golf. He's also the proud father of my second guest, Ms. Carly Rae Goldstein. She's both a national and world champion. And just a few short weeks ago, she won her 100th junior title and now in preparation for her freshman year at LSU. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, I'm glad to have the two of you. I've been waiting and counting down. I've been trying to get you guys so that I get both of you on at the same time and get you scheduled. And I just want to say how truly fortunate I feel to have you guys on here. Carly Rae, you've just, 100 tournaments, and you're just now in your 18th year and getting ready to head out to LSU. It's just a phenomenal feat for anybody, particularly for a junior golfer to have that many tournaments under their belt. So congratulations on number 100.
Thank you so much. It was really fun, and it felt really good to get that accomplished before I left for school.
Well, certainly accomplishment, and I know just from watching all of the different posts, for those of you that are just tuning in, if you on Facebook and you are either friends or see a lot of the posts with Barry and Carly Rae, you'll see a lot of talk about Carly Rae's career over the last several years, and just a phenomenal young lady, and that's why I wanted to have the two of them on the program this evening. Let's just start, from the beginning is probably the best place to go. First off, Barry, how did you get your start in golf? What sort of prompted or motivated you to get into the great game of golf?
Gosh, Ted, that's going back a long way. When I was a kid, I was much more into ice hockey and baseball. Baseball in particular was my first love. Ice hockey was my second love. And, you know, I played baseball right up into my early 20s, and I was one of the captains of my high school ice hockey team. I was really into that, but I always liked golf. When I got into my teens, I got into, and then we moved to Florida. I came down to Florida when I was 18 to go to Florida Atlantic University, and I just got bit by the golf bug. My parents had a house that was right up against a golf course, and I got the bug, and then I got lucky. I became a pretty accomplished amateur player in South Florida and played against a lot of really great players, and one thing led to another, and before you know it, you know, I was playing against some of the best players around the world and around the country, and just sort of, you know, like kind of like a fire just took off, and I just got real involved in it. And by the time I was in my early 20s, it pretty much was all I was doing. And didn't start teaching until I was in my 30s, but always was a player, played in all the big amateur tournaments, and just was very lucky.
Yeah, and you know, that's very similar to how I got started in the game as well. And it's just certainly a great catalyst for what has transpired since then. And I want... The reason I asked that is I wanted to just get a sense of where your beginnings were and that sort of thing, and how you started out in golf. And even though,
yeah,
I've known that from watching,
sure, you know. I grew up in an area, Ted, this big sports area. I grew up in Binghamton, New York, which is in upstate New York. And, you know, hockey's big there. Baseball was very big when I was a kid there. We had some great athletes that I used to grow up playing against. And my daughter Carly actually has lived half her life in Binghamton. I used to own a driving range up there, and in the summers, we would live there from April through November for 6-7 months a year, and then we'd live in Florida the other half of the year. So my daughter considers her hometown is Binghamton, New York as well, and, you know, we're proud to be from there. It's a great area to grow up, but to get golf intensive, it's certainly got lucky moving down to Florida. And I think some of the reason I became a good player is hockey and baseball are sort of a hand-eye, hand-stick game, and you know, when I started teaching, I got lucky. The mentors behind me as a teacher is the legendary Jimmy Ballard and Jim McClain and Dave Pelton, guys like that. And when I started to teach, I compared a lot of golf to baseball and hockey, and I think it helped a lot of my students, you know, to be able to compare the golf swing and put it in simple terms and compare it to ice hockey and baseball for some of my students.
Right, and you know, as did I. Obviously, as we were talking with Barry and Carly Rae off air just a few moments ago, he obviously recognized my Canadian accent and asked me what part I was from. And of course, being from Canada, hockey's a big big thing in Canada. And of course, Toronto Maple Leafs were my team. But I was along the same lines as you, as that sort of hand-eye coordination developed earlier on in hockey and obviously baseball and some of the other sports.
Yeah.
But much like yourself, much later in life, however, though, I came down to Florida really to play more and to be able to teach more, as I'm sure you had the same issues up in New York with the colder climates and that. It's not as conducive to playing good golf. And so we both headed for warmer climates. Carly Rae, let me just ask you, I want to ask Barry, let me go back a second. Barry, I wanted to ask you, how old was Carly Rae when you first sort of recognized that she had a talent?
Oh, my gosh, Ted. Well, first of all, she won the first tournament she ever played in. She was 8 years old, shot 53. So that's pretty freaking good. But I'll tell you when I realized she won the Doral Publix World Championship when she was 11, and she beat, there were best players from all over the world that were her age. I mean, girls that I'm watching playing the U.S. Open right now. And that's when I knew that, you know, I knew she was good, but until she competes against the best from around the world, you don't know how good.
Right.
When she was 11, she had a one-shot lead after the first round, and she slept on it. The next day we went back down to Doral, and she never gave up that lead, kept the stroke lead the entire way around and won by one. And, well, I'll tell you, it was pretty impressive to watch a little 6th grade, 11-year-old girl play that well. And from that day on, I knew how good she was going to be. I mean, I had taken Carly on the Golf Channel with me to do Your Game Night. Jerry Foulkes was the host. And at that time, I thought Carly was very good. Well, 6 weeks later, she won that Doral tournament, and I realized just how good she was.
Right. Well, and you know, the interesting thing, too, is that, you know, as a parent, you know, you obviously are going to be in your child's corner, and you're always going to be supportive in that, but you also have to be realistic, as, you know, sometimes some children maybe are not as good as what they would like to be. And obviously in your case, you know, she was probably exceeded really your expectations. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's a great comment. You know, I'll be 100% honest with you. I mean, to get to the level Carly's at, the talent level and the work ethic, and, you know, I didn't imagine when I turned her on to golf when she was 1, 2 years old that it would end up the way it's ended up, and it's been fantastic, you know. But, you know, you have to have talent. I think she's got a lot of talent, but you also have to have that work ethic, that drive, the smartness about your practice, the professionalism, and she's had that from day one. I don't know. She just sort of has a very good demeanor for the game, a very level, smart way of going about it that we've worked on since she was 6, 7 years old.
Well, and that leads me into my next question, which is for Carly Rae. Now, obviously, I know from reading different articles and things like that, obviously, your dad was not only a great supporter, but he was also your coach and mentor and so forth. What sort of a regiment, if any, did he put you through in order to help you prepare, not only for tournaments, but just to get to become a better player?
Well, I always have had, like, a very constructive practice routine. I never really just go out and bang balls. I always have like a motive for when I'm practicing, exactly what I want to accomplish. I know exactly what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing at the golf course to help me get better. So practicing for me has always been fun. I'll do drills and little games to help me get better. That way I'm not really just out there to be out there. But I've been working out since I was about 11, nothing too crazy, but just like staying in shape, a lot of like core workouts, and I have a trainer named Jeff Krupp who's helped me. He's TPI certified, so it's very focused on golf, and everything we do is kind of a constructed method, like it has a purpose to it. So I think my dad has just really trained me to basically like a miniature tour player, just as a little kid, you know, just trying to copy and, like, replicate, like, some of my biggest, like, idols and the people I've looked up to, just trying to really, like, focus my game on trying to get there and become like them.
Who are some of your idols? Who did you idolize growing up?
The biggest one is Natalie Goldbus, who I'm sure you know. She
right.
kind of took
oh,
me
yes.
under her wing when I was when I was really young. She basically just we got along really well when I first met her when I was I think 8 at the Corning Classic, and she's just been a really mm-hmm. great role model that I hope someday I'll be like that to somebody. Somebody younger than me, because she's like, I know, just little things, send me Christmas cards, ask me how my game's doing, just really keep up with me, and she's just like really, really well-rounded, and she just gave me a really great role model to look up to.
Yeah, and that is so important, particularly for today's generations, is to have a positive role model, especially in this day and age where there are so many sports figures, and I don't want to go down that path, obviously, because we're trying to have a positive conversation here, but there's so many different athletes that have really taken a different route and have been, I guess, for lack of better words, a disappointment. So it's definitely important for somebody such as yourself to have a positive role model, and I can't think of anybody really that comes to mind that would be sort of within that generation like Natalie Goldbus. So definitely a positive role model for you, and I know that as time goes on and your game gets even better and your career advances, that some young girl that's growing up is going to be able to look at you and have that same vision. So definitely a positive role model Natalie is, and I hope and I know that you will be as well when you're further in your career.
You know,
what's
funny is we're casually friendly with Jack Nicklaus, which kind of blows me away. Carly has spent a good 40 minutes with Jack Nicklaus tutoring her game years ago, and we just saw him again in November, and he, of course, remembered us and chatted again with Carly and I, and that blows me away because Jack Nicklaus, when I was a kid, he was it. And so Carly's been
watching. Yeah.
She's had some extremely great people to look up to that are the real deal as far as people and athletes, and, you know, it just still blows me away that Jack Nicklaus knows my daughter and I. That's just... I get a kick out of that
right.
to this day. That, you know, it's been a few years. We've known him since Carly was 14, 13, and he just took a liking to her, and he saw her hit some balls and just lit up and hung out with her for about a half an hour,
yeah.
and it was pretty amazing.
Well, I've had some similar experiences with Jack. Obviously, I don't have a personal, intimate relationship with Jack, but I remember him fondly when he came up to Glen Abbey, which was a course that he designed in Oakville, Ontario, for the Canadian Open, and which unfortunately he never won, but it was a great track, and I remember watching him many a times hitting, you know, from the fairway and that, and just a phenomenal person, and I got close enough to, you know, to say hello and shake his hand and so forth, and just a really, really super guy, so I envy you in that to have a you know, relationship like that.
Yeah,
let me
pretty
just,
amazing, Ted.
Let me just take a quick pause here. I think we've got somebody that wants to call in and say hello. Let me just see who we got on the line here.
Yeah, sure.
Good evening. Hello. And welcome to Golf Talk Live. You're on with Barry and Carly Rae Goldstein.
Hello.
Who do we have
this
here?
This is Edward Henson. This is Edward Henson. I just wanted to say hello to Barry and Carly and congratulate you guys on all the success and just really excited to continue to follow you guys and you develop that friendship over the years.
That is so nice, Edward. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well, Barry.
Good. That's really nice of you, and I hope you'll come watch Carly play for LSU when she plays in South Carolina. I'd love to see you and your boys again. It was really nice of you to come out and say hello to me when we visited the University of South Carolina.
Yeah, it was great seeing you guys. I'm still a little upset about Carly not coming here, but I certainly understand she's going to be in a great program.
Well, you know what?
LSU.
You are a really nice family, your boys and you, and it was just very nice you took the time to come meet us when we were in Columbia, South Carolina, visiting the school. And tell you what, nothing against the Gamecocks, great place. You know that. We love the school, and they've got great coaches there. But LSU got her, but we'll certainly see you. And I'd love to see you up in South Carolina, Ed, if you and the boys want to come out. I'm going to go to Carly's first tournament in Charleston, South Carolina. Love for you guys to come out and walk 18 with us.
I put it in my calendar already, Barry, so I'm looking forward to it, and I'll catch up with you offline about that. Congratulations again, Carly, to the 100th win. I know I posted a couple of comments on there for you. And
thank
I wanted
you.
Just
I
to chime and I wanted just to chime in real quick when you talked about role models and those sort of things said on the show. And
sure.
You know, for a lot of folks, you know, they grow up and develop, they just kind of grind through life or grind through sports. And I tell you, you know, the old adage of being a product of your environment is so true. And it just if you look back and just the unbelievable relationship that Barry has with his daughters and certainly the travel and dedication that goes into that, it's just amazing. But it's not surprising. Certainly, you know, Barry, a top 25 golf teacher and just a great guy. I mean, just a straight shooter. And Carly is such a wonderful young lady with a world of talent and unlimited potential. And it's great to see these stories and get to know these folks through social media and then interaction. And certainly, you know, hats tip to you, too, for allowing them on the program and letting them share their story, because it's just a great, great story of success and loyalty there.
Thank
well,
you
I
so
certainly,
much.
Edward, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I certainly, I appreciate you coming on and your generous comments, and I thank you for taking the time to come and say hello.
Absolutely. You guys take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it,
right.
Edward.
Good speaking with you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
How very nice is that? My gosh, that's so nice.
Yeah, that's what happens when you put out that, positive image, if you will. You know, it attracts what you put out is what comes back. And, you know, Carly Rae, if nothing else that you ever learn from whether it be your father or any role models is how you treat other people and how you interact with others is really how you're going to be perceived in this world. And obviously it sounds not only from the caller, but from obviously listening and reading some of the many posts that your father has put up there, that's something that you've done your whole life, and that's why you've continued to enjoy the success that you have so far.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really just, when I was little, my dad always used to tell me, who you see on the way up is the same people you're going to see on the way down. Just kind of just treat everybody equally, treat everybody nice. There's no reason to not treat people the way you want to be treated.
Exactly. And just obviously, you know, as we just had that previous caller, just to remind the folks that are tuning in at this time, if you want to call in and say hello or you want to have any questions that you want to put forth to either Barry or Carly Rae, you can call in at 646-716-4667. Or if you don't feel like calling in live, you can email me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com, and I'll certainly relay the question while we're here live for the next little while. Let's just get back, Carly Rae, if we can. Obviously, we have a good sense of the relationship that you had with your father, but were there times that you felt that sometimes that you wanted to do some things a little bit differently maybe than what he suggested or offered? And how did you guys sort of work that through? What was sort of the process there?
I mean, just like any father-daughter who, I mean, like coach-student, there's always going to be like different ways of seeing things and viewing things, but as a whole, me and my dad, we just get along really well, and I mean, I completely respect where he is as a teacher, and I know that he's always just looking out for me from like a parent's point of view, so I know anything he's telling me is pretty much just there to help me. But just like any father and daughter, of course, we have our clashes and stuff, but there's really never been a time where I've doubted what he's instructing me to do or anything like that, just because I know that he's,
right.
You know, he only wants the best.
Let me tell you, Ted,
right.
I beat her up and she listens to me good. No, I'm kidding. Carly, on the golf course, me and her see things 100% the same. Like, we don't want anybody getting into her head or touching her golf swing. I'm her dad, and we have our moments like any other father and daughter, father and son, you know. But on the golf course, gosh, everything we've done up to now has worked beautifully. We're just going to keep doing the same things we've always done. But she has a real level head on her shoulders, and I think she knows that I wouldn't teach her anything that wasn't going to help her.
Right, and that's definitely important to have that type of relationship, because it is difficult, and I'm sure, Barry, you can understand where I'm coming from. There's a lot of, you know, examples that you can see out there, even on the tour, where you've had that sort of close relationship and it's just not always worked out for the best. So certainly kudos to both of you, but particularly you, Barry, for being able to sort of know when to step in and when to step back and just allow, you know, Carly Rae to shine at the moments that she needs to, but at the same time being that supportive person that you've become, but allowing her to be able to do things that she needs to do.
Thanks, Ted. You know, it's funny, I hadn't thought about this in a while, but a couple of years ago, Golf Week magazine came and they stayed at the hotel a couple miles from our house, and the writer spent 3 or 4 days with us, and he did a very intense story about, I think it was called My Daughter, My Prodigy, you know, and it was about the father-daughter teacher-student relationship, and Jim McClain was quoted in it because he had some sons that were good players, and, you know, at times, gosh, I mean, you know, with any sport, if you're the coach and you're around the person as much as we are, there's moments you're going to have, but I would have to say in general, we're very, very lucky. You know, I see some parents and students or fathers and daughters on the golf course, or maybe I wouldn't want to be in that situation, but I guess we're just a little bit lucky that way.
Well, and it goes back to really a mutual respect. I mean, obviously, you know, as Carly Rae has mentioned, you know, she understands that you're her father and she respects you not only as a teacher but as a father. And when you have that sort of relationship with your child and they sort of understand that you're to help them and it's in their best interest, they're going to look at things differently as opposed to if you're overpowering and dominating that particular youth. They're not going to be as receptive. And it sounds to me like you guys have found a formula that has worked very, very well. And obviously the fruits of that labor have been the successes that Carly Rae has experienced over these last, many years.
Yeah, well, thanks, Ted. I'm no angel, but I just try my best, you know. And I think, from day one, the first time I ever went on a golf channel, national television, prime time, my daughter was 7 years old. And my older daughter, Aubrey, love them both so much, was 8 years old. They both sat behind the camera and watched me film the show. And so I think Carly has seen from very early on in her life that I'm just going to always make her part of everything I've done. I mean, I've put her in magazines with me. I like to involve her in everything I do because I know it's in her own interest in the long run. It's going to help her.
Well, and it's something that you both are passionate about. You both obviously love golf, and it's something that you both get excited about. So why not share something that you are passionate? It would be no different than throwing the old softball out there with the sun or something like that. If you both are going fishing or what have you, it just happens that golf is the vessel, if you will, that the two of you
I agree with you. And having a kid she's a world class player. She's taught me so much. I mean, I know I'm the teacher, but she's taught me a lot of things. Maybe that, you know, when you live with somebody and you see them and she's lived her life the right way for 18 years, and she deserves a lot of the rewards that she has gotten. It's that simple. I mean, I think Carly and I are big on karma, and if you put in, you get out, and she puts in. And obviously can't win everything, but she wins her share, and she has her share of big days and big moments in her life, and she deserves them, you know. She definitely deserves them. It's a matter of she works at it correctly. She does the right things off the course. She treats people well. She does things correctly, and I'm big on that, and I believe that she gets rewarded because of it.
Right. Carly Rae, I asked you this before we went on the air, but I just wanted to, again, ask it again while we're here. Did winning the 100th tournament feel the same, or how did it feel the very first time you won?
It was definitely different than the first time I won because I really wasn't expecting anything, and I really never played any other sports, so it was very different. Golf is a very individual sport, and it's all on you, so going into it, I didn't know what to expect. I'm pretty much, golf is the only sport I've ever played or had played, so I really had no expectations, but going into my 100th tournament, I really only had one chance to make it happen because of the time frame. I entered one last junior tournament, and I was really, really hoping to pull through. And, I mean, it was a really fun tournament. My competitor, I was actually two behind going into the last nine and ended up just pulling it out, making a couple birdies on the back nine to close it out, and it felt really good. Definitely a different feeling, but regardless, either win, they're both great.
When you get and just sort of to expand on that a little bit, as you progressed through your junior career and more tournaments were racking up, did you ever get a sense of it's just another tournament, it's another number, or did that sort of momentum and that excitement sort of carry through each time? Did you feel, I guess what I'm trying to ask is did it sort of become old after a while, winning the different tournaments because you had won so many? Do you know what I'm trying to?
Really, really felt old or like a routine or anything, just because there's there's so many tournaments you don't win, and each tournament you travel and you go to, there's a new course, new competitors, new people to meet. So it never really got repetitive. Obviously, some tournaments are bigger than others, and some are more fun than others. But there was never a tournament where I just wasn't excited to play or I wasn't really grinding to get that win.
And that's important, and that's a great, another feather, if you will, in your cap, Barry, is to be able to have her feel that way throughout her career. Because when you think about it, if you look at her age and when she first started, 100 tournaments is a lot to win, and it's only natural after that length of time, playing in and playing out every week, and winning these different tournaments, and of course, some cases not winning. It can be a strain on any individual, let alone somebody that's going through her teenage years.
Well, let me tell you, Ted, the honest truth is Carly hasn't played that many tournaments. I mean, she's played a lot of tournaments, but there was a year or two where we didn't compete for a while, and she took a stretch where she was just playing high school golf. She didn't compete around the country and nationally and around the state. So I'm sure that the number wasn't important to Carly at all, and I'm a dad, so I kept track of the wins. Carly's never been into that. She could care what number it was. That was all her dad, just keeping track of her wins. Don't get me wrong. She's aware of 100's a nice round number. But, speaking of, she was telling me how she came from a few strokes back. Well, I've seen her. She won the Florida State High School Championship this past October. She shot 70, 70, 69, 71, 69. She was trailing by one with 8 holes left in that, too, and proceeded to shoot 33 on the back nine for a 69 to win by 4. So she has that ability. Carly just never quits, never, ever quits until the last putt is in the hole. And tell you what, that's won her a lot of golf tournaments. I've seen her win over some very good players when she didn't have her best stuff. I've also seen some great players beat Carly when she didn't have her best stuff. But Carly will never give in, and that's, if you ask me a word to describe both of us, we persevere. There's no quit in either of us at all. There's just no quit in either of us. And that's, I would say, in golf and life, that's probably the best thing you could have.
Right. And also, too, I think attitude has a lot to do with it. And just something that I've sensed just in talking, obviously, with both of you, but particularly with Carly Rae, is there's that sort of not just a positive attitude, but there isn't even an ounce of arrogance in her tone, which unfortunately you see a lot of today in the golfing world, but also in sports general. And you could just tell by that she's certainly very humble in her demeanor and so forth. And that's extremely important, because I think, do you know what I'm saying? Because I think that as she progresses.
To the 100th degree, it's kind of unattractive. Some of the, we go to all the big tournaments, and you see some things that are very unattractive. I would never let my daughter be like that. She doesn't have an ounce of that in her. She's just a good kid, But, you deal with some spoiled, coddled kids in the golf world. You just do. And, my daughter doesn't have any spoiled in her. And, that would be very unattractive to me as a father. So I just would never, I just wouldn't allow that. But, you make a great point, Ted. I mean, we see some very entitled kids, and, we still, we're just not like that. I don't think that we're very positive. We're very happy. I would say if you met Carly and I, you'd say we're probably two of the happiest people you've ever met. And I think that counts in golf. That really, really helps my daughter on the course. She just keeps playing with a smile. She just keeps going. She keeps pushing. And, usually a lot of good things go her way. Not always, but most of the time.
Well, and the interesting thing, too, is I've noticed, obviously seeing a lot of the photos and different articles and obviously on some of the social media, I don't think I've ever seen a photo of either of you that you didn't have a smile on your face.
Well, you didn't catch us on the way home from a tough loss, right, Carly? Like, we tried to qualify for the U.S. Open, and we had it. We had it. And Carly three-putted the 35th and 36th hole, which is unlike her. And we went into a playoff, and we ended up losing in the playoff. So I'll tell you what, that ride home, those smiles weren't that big. But, you know, in the scheme of life, it's not such a terrible thing. But, you know, if you look at the big picture, it's not a big deal. But we're pretty down for a day or two.
Right. Well, the true test of a champion is how they and you know, Jack Nicklaus used to say this is really how they handle the losses as opposed to the wins. I mean, and you know, if somebody is able to, I mean, everybody's going to have disappointment when they don't win the tournament or a challenge. But if they handle it with the same integrity and the same, you know, I'm trying to be lost for words here, but I think you understand the direction I'm going in. But
you got to be a graceful winner. You got to be graceful. You got to be graceful in both situations. I agree. And I've always taught my daughter, you hug her and you say good job, whether you beat her or whether you lost to her. You know, you got to play golf the right way. I've taught my daughter to play the right way. And, you know, part of it is when you lose to somebody, you shake their hand, you look them in the eye. If I was a girl, my daughter's a girl, she'd usually hug the girl and say congratulations.
Right.
When you win, you enjoy the wins, no doubt. But my daughter, I tell you, Carly and I laugh. Sometimes we wonder the low of losing sometimes is maybe harder than the high of winning. And we've had a lot of highs. But, you know, mm-hmm. when you think about those lows, boy, they stick with you. And, you know, she had the Dixie Amateur this year, and we had it. You know, it was a four-round tournament. She shoots 72, 67, 68. We had a five-shot lead. And then Isabel Lendl from the University of Florida shot 66, and we came in second. We tied with a girl named Cindy Fang, who just played in the U.S. Open. And tell you what, our smiles were on low for a day there. But looking back on it, probably it'll make Carly a better player in the long run because we don't want to feel that again.
Right. Carly Rae, let me ask you a question. What sort of thought process goes through your mind when you're playing in a tournament, just as an example, in a couple of the tournaments that your dad was mentioning here a few minutes ago, where you were coming from behind? What goes through your mind at that point? Because obviously you can see a leaderboard around and you know where you're positioned as far as where you are in the tournament. What sort of takes over? Do you still have with the original game plan that you had at the beginning of the tournament, or is there something else sort of takes over and say, okay, this is what I need to do these last, you know, 8 or 9 holes?
I'd say a little bit of both. I'm a smart player. I'll almost always stick to my game plan, but I'm a fighter. I'd say, like, I mean, even if something's not going my way, you kind of just have to fake it, you know, say, okay, it's going to happen on the next hole. It's not going right for me right now. Okay. You still got this many holes left. You still have, this hole that I'm going to birdie, you know, it's like kind of just a frame of mind coming from 2 back or if you're 2 forward, I think you kind of have to look at it the same way. You're never going to want to change your game plan just because you're 1 back, you know, that's when things start going wrong. It's, I think it's all in the way you look at it. I'm just the kind of player I'm always going to focus on what's coming up next. Don't dwell on, you know, like, if I didn't 3-putt that last hole, you know, I'd still be 1 ahead. Mm. You can't think of it that way because then you're not looking at what's to come.
Wow.
Right.
How good was that answer,
yeah,
Ted?
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, we should just, you know, if it wasn't for I have more things to ask you, we could just end it on that note right there and that would be a perfect show.
That was a great answer.
No. You know, it's interesting that you say that, Carly Rae, because one of the things that we talked about recently on Golf Talk Live was, in fact, it was just last week, I think, we talked about it. My guest was Meredith Kirk from South Carolina, and she's a teaching professional out there and runs her own business. But one of the things that is so vitally important for anybody, and whether you're a golfer or not, is you can't dwell on what's happened in the past. And I think too many players, even at the top professional level, you'll see a lot of them, Barry, and I'm sure you've seen this yourself, where they'll have a bad hole, they'll bogey, double bogey, what have you, and the very next hole, they haven't shaken it loose, and it just progresses. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And the average club golfer is especially guilty of that type of play. And that's something that to be at a top-level player, such as what Carly Rae is doing now, you can't afford to be that type of person. You have to learn to let go of what just happened, either the previous hole or 2 holes ago, and move forward with your game plan.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, it's all in your frame of mind and the way you look at things. If you're a negative person and you keep on thinking that things aren't going to go your way, then they're not going to go your way. You know, you just have to really be focused on what's coming up and what you want to do rather than, you know, what would happen if, you know, oh, I don't hit this shot well, then I'm going to be two back going in the next hole, you know. You really just have to have the right frame of mind and really focus on what you want to happen and make it happen.
What are some of the things that you do, Carly Rae, to accomplish that? What are some of the things that, and I don't want to say tricks because they're really not, it's something that you acquire over time, but what do you do when you've had a bad, let's say you've just finished a bad hole, it's one of the worst holes you've played in a long time. What do you do mentally to regroup?
Well, more on the superstition side of it, I'll usually switch my ball. And, you know, just get a new ball in play, kind of, like, switch things up a little bit.
Like a fresh start.
Yeah, just, you know, get a fresh start and start something new. But mentally, I mean, you just need to know how to move on from it, stop thinking about it, and focus on birdieing the next hole. The best thing you can do to come back from a bad hole is, you know, get in one back or maybe two back if you can eagle it, you know. It's more just I just really try to not dwell on the past hole, and you know, if you're not having a good round, things can always change. Just like if you're having a great round, you might start pulling it or pushing it, just not hitting it great. It's just you have to focus on the hole you're on. I think is my biggest tip. You can't control what already happened. You can't control what your opponent's gonna do if they're, you know. So it's really all on you. Golf is like a mental game, and you need to just be able to put stuff behind you, the good or the bad.
Yeah, Ted, we've always worked from the time Carly was really little on being very positive mentally. Like, it's not an accident. We've done it on purpose. But I also think she just has a demeanor that's very positive. But, you know, a lot of times people tell me and my daughter where they're happiest, most positive people they know. But I don't know if that's true or not. It's just kind of the way we are. And like my daughter said, you can fake that attitude. If you're struggling, you can fake it and put yourself in a good mood. And she's really good at that. And I remember once she had a ton of college coaches watching her at Doral Publix last year. So before she signed with LSU, she shoots 67 and she's in the lead overnight. Halfway through the second round, there was a girl from Sweden or Norway, I forget which country, that was leading her by one or two. And I said, keep going, champ. You can do it. Just keep going. She said, don't worry. Something good will happen, Dad. Don't worry. Something good will happen. That day it didn't happen. She didn't win that tournament, but that tells you a lot about the frame of mind of a champion right there.
Yeah, exactly. I agree 100%. Let me ask a question again of Carly Rae. I was reading on the article that you'd actually emailed over, I think it was the other day. It was written in the Global Golf Post. It was in the Florida edition. And there was a section that was kind of very interesting, that Carly Rae, that you had played at Pebble Beach at a Champions Tour first tee open. And you were partnered with Nick Price and Andy North. What was that experience like? And obviously, I know you played with a lot of different people. Were you a little nervous at all?
I mean, that was definitely one of the best experiences I've ever had. Just, I mean, with everything, with golf, with, you know, I got to play one of my favorite course, like, for 3 days in a row. I mean, it didn't hurt that it was for free. And I met the most amazing people. Like, I met George Lopez, and I'm a huge fan of his show. I met Bill Murray and some really cool people that maybe I'd probably, like, never get to meet. And then golf-wise, I met Greg Norman. I got to play with, like, two amazing people. And they're such nice guys on top of just being great golfers and having accomplished so much. But, I mean, it was really just one of the best experiences of my life. They were both, I mean, Andy North was my partner originally, and we did really well. I think we came in fourth together, and the last 2 days paired with Nick Price, who was just an absolute, he was such a nice guy, and really they're just looking out for me, and they're just such nice people and really just great people to play with. Even with all the success they both have had, no arrogance to them, very, very nice and caring people, just like actually genuinely like keep up with my game and just always ask me how I'm doing and how my, you know, just stay in touch. Like, they don't have to do that. They've already had all their success that anybody could ask for. And it just shows a lot that, that they would still be, you know, keeping in touch with me and worrying about me when this happened so long ago already.
Right. Yeah. And I've had the pleasure of watching a number of the now on Champions Tour, but people like Nick Price and some of the others play, and they are just certainly ambassadors to the game. They're wonderful people to watch golf-wise, but they're also great people to meet in a social setting as well. They're just very, very friendly, very engaging, and that's something you see a lot of, particularly I've noticed more with some of the more seasoned golfers. I remember Freddie Couples years ago playing at the Canadian Open, and he pushed on the number one hole, he pushed his tee shot, and it actually landed about 3 feet from where I was standing. And he came over, and, you know, first thing, you know, right away is, did he hit anybody or, you know, that sort of thing. And came over, shook my hand, and, you know, talked for a few minutes while he was waiting for his turn. And just a really, really nice guy. And, you know, that's one thing about golf I've noticed a lot, especially at the professional level, is unlike some of the other sports, a lot of the players, certainly most of them anyways, are certainly very friendly to the galleries. And that's important because that's something, you know, people are paying to go in and watch these different tournaments, and they want to feel like they're a part of it. And what a great way is to have a player come up, you know, in your sort of area and be engaging like that. And Freddie is certainly one of the nicest guys I think I'd ever had the pleasure of speaking with. Just a great guy all the way around. So I know that you've met a lot of great people over the years, and that will continue to do so. Let me just move now into sort of the next phase of your career, and that's, of course, attending LSU. You're going to be going there, I think you said, the 16th?
Yes.
And that's, of course, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. In addition to golf, what area of studies are you going to be doing when you're at LSU? Where are you, do you have a major?
I'm starting off, mass communications is my major, and I think I'm going to focus on TV broadcasting for sports.
Very good. Excellent. So you're going to be doing your own version of the Golf Channel in a few years after you've had a successful golf career.
That's the if all goes as planned. That's what I'm hoping. Golf first, and then move on to the Golf Channel, because that's always been a dream of mine since I was really young. You know, after golf.
Right. Now, speaking of which, obviously, I'm assuming that you want to once you're done at LSU. Do you want to go into the professional end of it as well? Do you want to get on the LPGA?
Yes, absolutely. That's a really big goal of mine.
Okay. Well, I'm certainly, you know, with the repertoire that you're taking with you, I don't think you'll have any problems with success on the LPGA. What do you hope to bring to the golf program at LSU, besides obviously this vast repertoire? What do you feel that you have to bring to their team?
I mean, I've never really played any team sports or anything, so it's definitely going to be a change, but I just hope to, I'm sure I'll get along well with my teammates. They all seem like a really great group of girls, and I think it's just going to be exciting, like a whole new outlook on golf, kind of. I'll still be playing my game and trying to play as well as I can individually, but it'll be cool to have a team backing you up, and, you know, maybe if, one of my teammates doesn't play great and I have a great round, you know, coming in, like as one of the last people to come in, you know, it'll be cool, like being part of a team and being able to help out my teammates, and they can help me out as well. And it'll be, I'm very focused person on my own game. So I usually don't practice with friends or anything like that. I'm usually just, a very individual player, but I think it'll be really cool to, have a nice group of girls to, practice with and, really become close with through golf.
Well, and I can see right away just from the conversation that we've had this evening that you're certainly going to be a great, in addition to a great asset from a playing standpoint, but a great cheerleader as well for your other teammates, because you obviously have a very positive, as you know, as your father and I were just talking about a few moments ago, a very positive attitude, and that's going to be essential because there's going to be disappointments as a team, you know, playing some of the other competitors and that out there. And it's good to have somebody that is very mentally focused, not only in what they're doing, but being able to help keep the others positive, because not everybody's going to be maybe had the fortunate, you know, situation that you had with a father who's sort of taught you that along the way. You're going to have different personalities and so forth, and there's going to be situations where they're going to need a cheerleader, if you will, or a leader even on the team to sort of help. And I think you certainly are going to be a great person to do that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, that's really what I'm hoping to bring to the table. And, this, I think it'll be really cool to have like a team aspect to golf, because you know you usually don't get that most of the time. There's no other place you can get that except for college golf.
Exactly, Barry. This question I have for you.
Sure.
Obviously, as you're winding down these last few days before your daughter goes off to LSU, what advice will you send with her? What do you want to say to, and I mean, obviously there's some things that you're obviously not going to do on the air, but from a golfing standpoint and as a coach, because now you're sort of handing over the baton, if you will, to somebody else in a certain respect, what do you want to advise your daughter from this point on, or do you feel you've done all that you can do and it's now through the knowledge that you've given her that she's going to take this next step?
Oh, definitely. My advice would be we're not changing a thing. And part of the reason we picked LSU is they have an experienced coach, and she's going to be the organizer and everything, but she's not going to touch my daughter's golf game. You know, that's the coaches at college. All these girls at Carly's level, they already have golf teachers and golf advisors. So, you know, we're not looking for any instruction on her end. Just a great coach, a good woman to guide the team and to be there for her. My advice to my daughter would be to not change one thing. I want her to just keep getting better at the things we've done, keep doing the drills that I've taught her. And I always tell her, I just want her to go there and just continue to be Carly Rae Goldstein. You don't have to be, look at what it's done for her up to this point. We don't want to do anything different. And I stress that to her a lot, and she totally agrees. And, you know, as far as a person goes, forget golf. You know, LSU's a big school, big football team, a lot of parties, and my daughter's got a good head on her shoulders, but I would just tell her, hey, you know, keep your wits about you and don't get too caught up in the social scene. Have fun. But we picked LSU for a reason. We think it's the best way for my daughter to get to the next level, which our goal is currently to pick the highest level. And we feel college was a good stepping stone. A lot of people have asked us why Carly doesn't turn professional right now. And I think we have a real simple answer for that. She's 18. Her game might be, you know, she's got a lot of game, but gosh, a free college education at a school like LSU or Wake Forest, which we turned down, or Texas, we turned down a lot of great schools. There's a lot to be said for that. So my advice to my daughter would be to go have fun. As far as golf goes, do not change a thing, and to enjoy herself.
Right.
I want her to have fun. I want her to have a good time, but stay focused on her long-term goal.
Right, and that's critical, and that's a really great point that you raise about you know, turning professional. I mean, obviously she has the skill in the game to do that now, and we've seen from past experience on the LPGA Tour particularly, and I don't need to throw out names, but and I'm sure you know who I'm referring to, but there's a few that have sort of taken that quicker route and not finished their education and gone onto the tour and maybe didn't have the success that they might have had if they had waited a few more years. So I like that you're taking with this. It's, you know, go and enjoy. I mean, you're 18 years old. Enjoy. You know, you've had a great career thus far, and you're going to continue to have a great career through college. The LPGA will come when it's ready to come, but in the meantime, enjoy this process, enjoy this time, because you're never going to get it back as we get older, as both you and I can attest to. A couple old guys here, you know.
hey, watch out for that, Ted. But that's so true. You know what you just said. And when Carly was at the U.S. Open qualifier, she beat tons of girls that have tour wins and tour players and girls that are currently on the LPGA Tour. So we know where her golf game stands. When Carly plays well, she can play with anybody in the world. But, you know, golf, man, once you make it a career, it's a whole different ballgame. And I don't want to do that to my daughter right off the bat yet. I'd like her to have some college and go have fun and go be 18 years old and go root at football games and to go travel with her team to all these cool places and, you know, let the college pay for it for a while. You know, I've been doing it for a while. Let the college pick up the tab and let her have a great time.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I've been paying for it.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that that's, you know, just a fantastic way, really, to sort of, you know, get her into that next phase. It's just to go have some fun, enjoy, and let LSU pick up the tab, of course. But and I agree, that's a great approach for her to take, and I think it's a smart move. Obviously, you know, she respects your insight and your input into the thing, and but obviously she's old enough to make her own decisions, and it sounds like she values your experience and the, you know, the things that you've taught her over the years, and you've got a great young lady there, and I'm certainly eager to watch her career as it continues, and I just want to take this opportunity. I've got one more thing before I close out. Now, Carly Rae, this is probably going to be, I'm going to be dating myself here for sure on this one, but this is not, unfortunately not golf related, but I couldn't resist. And Barry, I hope you forgive me. But
that's okay.
Carly Rae, I want you to go when you get home, I want you to get on the computer either today or tonight or tomorrow or something like that. And if you're not familiar with this, I want you to Google a TV series called Chips, that's C-H-I-P-S. Barry, you're going to know in a minute where I'm going with this. And on there, there was one of the actors that played, and tell me, Carly Rae, if this does not look like your father, but one of the actors on there was Erica Strada.
You're talking about the one that all the women loved back in the 80s.
I want you, Carly Rae, to go and Google that, the TV series Chips, and tell me the next time that we talk if that does not look like your father.
You're too funny, Ted.
I will. I'll let you know. I'll let you know what I think.
He was a big heartthrob, as I remember, in the 80s, correct?
That's right. It started, the series started in the late 70s and went through to, I think the final episode was in 1983. But the reason why I had to throw that in there was the very first time that I had seen your picture on Facebook, and I thought to myself, what is Erica Strada doing on Facebook? And I looked and I said, Mary Goldstein. And
that is funny, and you're not dating yourself because you're probably in my age group, and I remember he was the big heartthrob. I remember that, and Carly will Google Eric Estrada on Chips. But you know, Ted, your show, we want to wish you the best of luck on your show, and it was really, you know, as a father, it was awesome to come out with my daughter, but as a golf pro, me and you have had a good rapport for a long time, and I respect you a lot as a person. That's why when you asked us to come on, we just said, hey, I'm going to make time to do it because you're a good guy and you deserve it. And I hope this show goes well for you. And, you know, I've done a lot of TV and radio and I've done a lot of this stuff. But when you asked me to do it, I just said, this is a good guy, Carly, and let's make an hour and give it to him.
Well, I appreciate it. And as I said, I wanted to kind of keep things light because I know that, you know, she's done this a million times. And I know she's got a lot of things and a lot of things going through her mind right now as she prepares to go to LSU. And certainly, Carly Rae, I want to wish you all the best for that. And again, congratulations on not only winning the 100th tournament in your junior career, but for being such an inspiration to so many young women out there. You know, this certainly is kudos to you, and obviously kudos to you as well, Barry, for doing a fantastic job raising this young lady to be a professional, to say the very least. She's professional all the way, and I know that her career is just really has just started. She's going to go out there, and she's going to capture the world by storm, whether it be in continue to be in golf or in other ventures. And I know that she's a chip off the old block, as they say. Not that you're that old, Barry, but you're up in my range too. So I know. But Carly Rae, I want to thank you, and I want you to make me a promise here. You guys are welcome to come back anytime, Carly Rae. I would love for you to keep us posted on what's happening at LSU. Feel free to call in anytime if you want and just let us keep us updated on what's happening there. I'm certainly going to be watching things on the different social media, and I know your dad, watching him over the last couple of years particularly, that he'll keep us posted on what's happening. But good luck at LSU and much continued success.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on, and it was great talking to you, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. I can't think of two better people to have on the program together. You guys, as I said, have just been a great inspiration. There's a lot of parents out there that could take a lesson from you, Barry. It's not easy these days with all of the, especially with the social media out there, to keep your young ones on the straight and narrow. And you certainly have done a fantastic job with both of your daughters.
This is nice to see you can say to me, and I think maybe just the key is I just love both my daughters a ton. And, you know, if that works, it works. You know, I mean, when you love them, you love them. And it just makes it, you'll do anything for them. So, Ted, thanks so much for having us on. And I wish you all the best, man. It was our pleasure coming on.
Well, I appreciate it again. And Barry, just one other final thought. As I mentioned to you,
sure.
I said this to you off air. A couple things, actually. I definitely would like you to come on again on the August 29th when Bernie Pinder will be here. He's the president and founder of Ontic Golf. I know you're involved in that as well, and I want you to come on if you would like to be a part.
Bernie is a part of that. Bernie's a genius. He's a genius in putting, and I'm a proud owner of Ontic, and I'm proud to be an officer in the company, and I'd love to call in. You guys just remind me, and I will be happy to come out with you guys. Wait till Bernie lays some of his knowledge on you. I mean, my daughter's used his putter the last three tournaments, and I think she's probably 8 under par the last 10 under par the last three tournaments. She loves his putter. Be my pleasure to come on, really.
Okay, well, I would certainly love you to come back on again, Barry. And as Ray, any time that you want to come back on the program and just update with things that are going on, let us know what's happening at LSU and just what's happening with your golf career and or what's just going on at LSU. We'd certainly love to hear from you again. So please call in any time you want.
You got it. And I'll tell you what, next time Carly wins something big, we'll come on and we'll talk about it. How's that?
I would love that. The other thing too, Barry, and I'll get into more of it at a later point, but one of the other things that I've mentioned several times on Golf Talk Live that we want to do starting in the new year is have a segment called Coach's Corner. And I want to invite a number of different teacher professionals come on at the same time and have more of an interactive call-in program where some of our audience can call in and ask questions and you know, get some help with their game, and I would love for you to participate if you're interested. We can talk, as I said, more off air at a later point, but I'd like to throw that out there.
Hey, for you, it would be my pleasure. I remember whenever I'm on the Golf Channel, people call in and ask for slice help and putting help, and you just sort of wing it and you answer their question. I'd love to do that for you. So, yeah, you can count me in. Just let me know when you're doing it, and I could definitely do that.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to let you guys go because I know you're on your way home and you got lots to do, and you're coming into a weekend here and have lots to prepare for Carly Rae going off to school. So, Carly Rae, again, one last time, thank you very, very much for coming on the program. Best of luck at LSU, and please keep us posted here on Golf Talk Live.
I absolutely will. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it. I will keep you posted.
All right,
thanks,
we'll do.
Ted. We're both smiling. We're both smiling, man. You did a great job.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your continued support, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, we're just winding up the last couple of minutes of the program. For those of you that maybe tune in a little bit late, my guests this evening were Barry and Carly Rae Goldstein. Barry, obviously a top 25 golf teacher by Golf Tips magazine, and obviously involved with Ontic Golf, which deals with putters and so forth. And he's going to be coming back on with Bernie Pinder, the founder and president of Ontic Golf on August the 29th. So I want to make sure that you tune back in for that. You'll have more of Barry and hopefully get some more callers to call in and ask some questions on that show. Next week, my guest is going to be Clint Wright, PGA teaching professional at R3 Golf Academy, and he lives up in the Pendleton, South Carolina area. He's going to be my guest on August the 15th. August 22nd, my guest is going to be David Wedzik, Worldwide Director of Instruction for Medicus Golf. He's going to be on August 22nd. And, of course, as I just mentioned, August 29th, Bernie Pinder is going to be coming on from Ontic Golf. He's the founder and president and currently resides up in the Grand Haven, Michigan area. So he and Barry are going to join on August 29th to talk a little bit about the putter that young Carly Rae has been winning and doing well with in these last few weeks. Again, if you weren't able to tune into the live broadcast, we're going to be closing off here in a moment or two. You can visit blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive in a few moments, and the recorded version will come up of the interview with Barry Goldstein and his daughter Carly Rae, who won her 100th tournament just a few weeks ago and is gearing up and getting ready on August 16th, I believe she said, heading to LSU, not only to get a great education, but to help the golf program there and be a part of that. And I know that's going to be a great experience for her, and she's going to make some new friends and have a great time, I'm sure, and continue on the much success with her. So, again, if you want to get the recorded version, you can visit the web link, which is blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive. And if you'd like, I'd appreciate it if you would like us on Facebook. You can find the Golf Talk Live Facebook page at facebook.com/Golf Talk Live blog. Make sure it says Golf Talk Live blog. So just put in your URL on your computer, facebook.com/Golf Talk Live blog. You can also email if you're interested in coming on the program or you have some suggestions for future guests that you would like to have on the show. You can email me personally at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Ted and Buck CEO, and it's Ted, T-E-E-D. A-N-D-B-U-C-K, capital C-E-O. That's Ted and Buck, CEO, on Twitter. Thank you for joining me this evening. Again, I appreciate those of you that have been tuning in every week and supporting the program. You will see me here live again next Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time when my special guest will be Clint Wright, PGA teaching professional from Pendleton, South Carolina. Thank you, and God bless, and have a great evening.